Happy hump day, everyone. Wednesday, War Room Wednesday here on The Great Divide. Hope you're all doing well. We have a bunch of people in the chat. We got a bunch of people watching all over on all the platforms. We're on Rumble tonight, Facebook, Cloud Hub. We're over on the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku Television. If you have a Roku TV or a Roku device, download the Patriot Podcast Network. It's free. You can get my show. You get a bunch of other shows. I think we have about 25 different podcasts on there. Anyway, so much going on. I mean, we're depleting our strategic petroleum reserves, just selling it off instead of keeping it and producing our own oil. We sold 1 million barrels to China. We're selling another 20 million barrels to various energy companies, not necessarily overseas. I'll get into that. We're changing the definition of recession. The DOJ is now investigating Donald Trump. Fauci went from, you know, denying that he ever said to lock down the country now, when 2 years ago he said he was locking it down. He wanted to lock it down. I mean, the news cycle moves so damn fast. And I always say it's by design. They don't want you to see everything. We know what the mainstream media does and their spin. I mean, you know, if you ever feel like you're a moron, just realize that there are people out there that are actually getting their news from those vile women or those people that identify, I think, as women on The View, like Whoopi the Hutt and Joy Behar and all of them. It's crazy. But, you know, so we got this January 6th committee, Liz Cheney. I mean, Liz Cheney, it looks like most definitely is going to lose her primary. But then again, you know, Stranger things have happened in elections. We know that over the past few years and, you know, beyond. But Attorney General Garland, who, thank God, this clown, Attorney General Merrick Garland, was not confirmed on the Supreme Court, because we would be in so much trouble if he was a Supreme Court justice at this point. He's proven to be he's definitely not apolitical. He is biased. He is, you know, partisan. He is a disaster. And now, you know, going on NBC Nightly News, just spouting that he has no problem with indicting Donald Trump. And that's the goal. We know that that is the goal. The Democrats are scared Donald Trump is going to run for president, that Donald Trump is going to win the Republican nomination, and that Donald Trump could win the presidency again for another 4 years. Win it a third time. Yeah, I said it. So, and that's even if Donald Trump is a 2024 candidate, that they would love nothing more than to have that aha moment where they indict Donald Trump, maybe not necessarily have the opportunity to put the handcuffs on him. Because I'm telling you, if the feds showed up at Mar-a-Lago with an arrest warrant and put him in handcuffs, unfortunately, you'd see the right coming out rioting, maybe not burning down, innocent business owners' business like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, but you would see an uprising at that point, I believe, because we know it's unjustified. Joy Behar, one of the most vile women on TV, on The View, literally, she turned around and said that she doesn't believe, after everything that she's seen in the January 6th Kangaroo Commission, that there is a smoking gun and that she believes there will not be a Donald Trump prosecution. Maybe she has a moment of clarity. She's still a fucking moron. But besides the point. So, yeah. They want to come after Donald Trump. So now the DOJ officially investigating Donald Trump. And they're making it sound like, you know, Merrick Garland as well. The January 6th Kangaroo Commission has their investigation. And they may find things that the DOJ doesn't find. And then the DOJ has their investigation now going, and they may find things that the January 6th committee doesn't find. In other words, who can make up the best bullshit? who can throw enough shit at the wall to make it stick? Because again, let's realize the criminal justice system and what it really is. Getting arrested means nothing. They don't need evidence to arrest you. They don't need evidence to slap charges on you. And that's for any level. Okay. It's what matters in a court of law with evidence and conviction. But again, now we know the criminal justice system is tainted. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But if you are a conservative convicted on federal charges in DC and having a trial in DC, chances are you're going to be found guilty. Case in point, what happens to many conservatives in DC, Roger Stone, Gerald Flynn, Steve Bannon, for, you know, crimes that were from hoaxes that were made up, you know, Russia, and everything else. But it's just disturbing the length and the desperation that the Democrats, the left, will go to, because they are petrified, because they know how weak they have the majority, but what they have a majority and they can't get anything through because they have Democrats who won't allow things to get through, you know, nonsense things to get to Sleepy Joe's desk so he can zombie through signing them. You know, oh, he's got a little bit of the COVID. I have a couple of video clips we're going to play. We have the one of him where, you know, he's talking about, you can't be pro-cop if you're pro-insurrection. First of all, people, we know there was no insurrection. Go talk to the FBI, who early on said there was no evidence or any indications that there was a pre-planned insurrection or an insurrection at all. But of course, that's the spin. That's the narrative. They're going to keep pushing it. Elections are coming. But the Democrats, they want nothing to do with Joe Biden. Has anyone ever just sat back recently and said, I posted this on my Facebook, I think earlier today. There are no Democrats out there that are seeking the endorsement in their elections from the sitting president, the leader of the Democrat Party, which we know really isn't Joe Biden, but it's supposed to be the president at the time. No Democrat out there is seeking the endorsement for their election from Joe Biden nor Kamala Harris. Why is that? Well, because they're clowns and they're toxic and they're toxic to any campaigns out there. As a matter of fact, I think it was Beto O'Rourke and a few others that have come out and said, this was a while back too, that they don't want Joe Biden showing up to any of their campaign events. They know the problems that would cause for them. Because, I mean, at CNN just ran a poll that 75% of Democrat voters, this was today it came out, that 75% of Democrat voters want Joe Biden replaced in 2024. I think the number's higher than that because obviously they didn't poll every Democrat out there. But I truly believe, I talk to a lot of Democrats. I have a lot of Democrat friends. And a lot of them I get into it with where I said, well, you voted for this. Well, I didn't vote for this. I just voted against Donald Trump. Well, you kind of voted for this. What did you think was going to happen? You just would vote for anybody who ran against the big, bad orange man. And a lot of them, yeah, that's what they had this hatred for Donald Trump. And they probably would have voted for Charles Manson. That's just how stupid people are. They're not looking at the big picture and seeing what these people are about, the establishment, the corruption, the disgusting criminality of them, especially the Biden crime family. So they all say the same thing. I was away recently with quite a few liberals, and they all said the same thing, that they would never vote for Joe Biden again. They don't want to see Donald Trump as president again, but they would not vote for Joe Biden for anything, for dog catcher. And, you know, but he says, yeah, 92% want me to run for, will vote for me if I run. No, you should go back to sleep, Joe. I don't know what they're pumping him with. I'm going to say that they're definitely pumping him with something. There's no way. I'm going to play this video. It's literally 17 seconds, but this was, I think, yesterday, where he's talking about you can't be pro-insurrection and pro-cop. You know, this. He doesn't blink. he's very stone like. He doesn't. I get. Oh, he was just sick. He just had COVID. He had a runny nose. Let's stop the bullshit. All right. He had a cold. He wasn't dying. I thought for sure they were going to have this old man die in his sleep, and this was going to be their out to replace him. I thought for sure. Hey, maybe he's not out of the woods yet. He just tested negative for COVID. Apparently, the White House just put a statement out. I think shortly after they put out their statement that they're changing the definition of recession because it doesn't fit the narrative of where the country is just doing a nosedive. The Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, and Jesus Christ, it's like a whirlwind of bullshit. So you take a look at Joe Biden. And if you're listening on an audio platform, you're going to have to go back on Rumble or Facebook or Cloud Hub or the Patriot Podcast Network and watch this video. But
shortly after they
I haven't even played it yet. That they're changing the definition of recession.
Just look at
it. It doesn't fit the narrative. I mean, where the country is doing.
I think he's still in the private office.
Federal Reserve is raising interest rates.
I think he's out of complete isolation now.
It's like a whirlwind of bullshit. Listen to this.
You can't be pro-insurrection and
You can't be pro-insurrection and if you're listening on an audio platform, you're going to have to go back on Rumble or Facebook or the Patriot Podcast Network
and watch this video.
But shortly after that, I haven't even played it yet.
And look at his definition of recession.
Just look at it. It doesn't fit the narrative.
I mean,
he's obviously doing a nosedive. So I think he was giving these remarks to a law enforcement organization, I believe. Which, I mean, let's face it. I don't think there are many law enforcement officers out there that are supporters of Joe Biden or any of his policies. I think that's a fact. But if you just look at his eyes and there's something wrong there. You can't tell me that he's not on something. That they don't, maybe Dr. Jill, Dr. Jill, his wife, who has a PhD in education, who Whoopi Goldberg literally said, no, she was such a moron. This idiot, Whoopi Goldberg, The View, where people get their news from, actually turned around and said that Dr. Jill Biden should be attorney general because she's such a phenomenal doctor. And like before they're on break, they're like whispering under their breath, like, doesn't she have a PhD in education? Like, isn't she just have a PhD? And Whoopi Goldberg is there with a dumb look on her face. And then they went to commercial break and they were like, hey, fucking moron, Whoopi the Hutt. She has a PhD. She's not an MD. Like, what's wrong with you? Again, just put your foot in your mouth. Stick to what you know. Make another Sister Act movie. It really just gets this is every day, people. Every day the stupidity. Every day the stupidity gets deeper. Every day the stupidity gets worse. Is it gonna stop? No. When's it gonna stop? Well, when everybody gets off their ass and does something about it and gets all of these people out of office, the midterms, whatever. Is Joe Biden gonna make it through the midterms? Are they gonna 25th Amendment him? Is he gonna pass away? Are they gonna make him resign? Who knows? I said on another show, I believe I said it with James. I said, I believe that Hunter is going to be, there's investigations, fraud and the firearm thing with Hunter Biden. I think maybe he's going to get charged and he'll have to answer to those charges. Maybe there'll be a conviction. And before Joe Biden leaves the White House, however he's going to leave, he will pardon his son. It makes sense because they want to sell to the American people that the justice system is balanced in this country and that it works and that, look, they got one of their own. And then, of course, Joe Biden would come in, swoop in and pardon his son. And then if Republicans, decided to harp on the pardon, they, of course, would turn around and say, well, look at all the people that Donald Trump pardoned when he was president. All of those convictions were based off lies. And here we have videotape of Hunter Biden with, with hookers and prostitutes and drugs and all these financial records from the laptop and all the, between Burisma and the China deals and everybody that's coming forward. I mean, so that's my feel on the whole Hunter Biden. I think he's going to get charged and he's going to end up ultimately getting convicted of something. And daddy is going to pardon him, which, hey, your dad's the president. I guess that can happen. But the spin. So now we sold 1 million barrels of our oil to
China-owned energy companies that Hunter Biden supposedly, possibly, probably, most definitely has a financial stake in some of them, has some sort of financial interest in some, which that alone should be investigated. And hopefully, if they do investigate it, he gets in trouble for that again. Okay. Yeah, we'll see. Now, the Biden administration wants to sell 20 million barrels from our SPR, Strategic Petroleum Reserves, to, it doesn't say exactly to who, but what it sounds like is they don't want to allow American energy, and I'm not an energy expert, and I'm going to ask a few people about this, but they're not selling it overseas. Some of it they might be selling to countries overseas like Europe. Europe now, Russia wants to shut down the natural gas line to Germany or lessen the capacity. And you know, Europe's going to freeze this winter. And maybe Germany shouldn't have laughed at Donald Trump when they said, hey, don't put all your energy eggs into Russia's basket. And they laughed at him and scoffed at him. But whatever. It's not clear on who is going to be buying these 20 million barrels of oil, but they have on the Department of Energy's website, shut down the natural gas line or lessen the capacity. And you know, Europe's going to freeze this winter. And maybe Germany shouldn't have laughed at Donald Trump when they said, hey, don't put all your energy eggs into Russia's basket.
But you can go to the Department of Energy. It's energy.gov, and you can look. Department of Energy, the DOE issues fifth emergency notice of sale of crude oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And this goes into how they can go on the Department of Energy's website.
That's really all that this says.
Have
Germany or lessen the.
They say that the sale will be conducted with crude oil from the following three SPRs. PR site,
Germany
Strategic Petroleum Reserve site,
hey, don't put all your
7.6 million barrels from Big Hill, 9.6 million barrels from West Hackberry, and 2.8 million barrels from Brian Mounds. Those are all
salt caverns,
strategic in Texas and Louisiana.
And this goes into
four storage sites between Texas and Louisiana where we keep
our oil. That's really all that
says Strategic Petroleum Reserve. But here's the thing.
There are areas in this country that we can drill for oil and frack and all of that, we would never have to worry. We were doing it. We would never have to worry about being dependent on our reserves or being dependent on other countries for energy. Okay. So again, they want to price us out. I think they want to price American energy companies out. Are we replenishing the oil reserves? Because when Donald Trump took office, they were depleted, I think, by more than half. And he worked hard to stock it, which he did. They replenished it, I believe, almost to full capacity. I don't know exactly on that. You could fact check me. You know, I'm not a news channel. You know, I'm not a news channel, people. I'm an opinion show. I look at everything and I talk about it. And I try to get everybody thinking on their own, using their brain, questioning everything, do your own research. I feel like a broken record when I say that. But I don't see why we should be selling any of our strategic reserve oil when we can be drilling enough oil to keep our reserves full and keep our country energy independent. And, you know, again, with the climate change and the, oh, how'd you die? Climate change. We're gonna get into something interesting about people dying from this sudden death syndrome too. I have something interesting on that. So, people again, when they go to the polls and they go and vote in the primaries, or you're voting on election day for the midterms, better make sure that the people you're voting for are pro American energy, are pro America being energy independent and not America dependent. And there are quite a few candidates out there that are America first. We should be fracking. I mean, there are governors out there running, like in New York, Lee Zeldin. I know he didn't mention it, but his opponent in the primary, Andrew Giuliani, who I like, he wanted to make New York a fracking capital. There are people out there. Most rational thinking people are wanting to make America energy independent, how we were, you know, when gas was under $3 a gallon in some places. I think gas was under $2 a gallon in some places when right before Sleepy Joe was installed into the Oval Office. So, and these politicians, I could kind of segue into this. A lot of establishment politicians out there, we know. I mean, most of them establishment. I'm tired of the Republican Party. I'm tired of the establishment Republicans. I'm tired of, you know, the leadership, Kevin McCarthy. And I say this all the time, almost every show I'm on or every show that I do. If Kevin McCarthy becomes Speaker of the House, we lose as a party. We lose, even if we have the majority. We lose. He will do nothing. He's establishment. And a lot of these establishment people that are running, they're running on policy, but they're running on a lot of policy that people aren't 100% concerned about. I think more people are concerned about the culture war out there on their everyday lives and how they live and how they're being forced to see things and forced to accept with sometimes legislation, whether it's local or federal. And that's why, you know, it's the culture war is a must, you could say, for conservative policy, conservative politics, running platforms such as, you know, the critical race theory in school, the transgender agenda that they're pushing on children and puberty blockers, which I speak a lot about, the promotion of the sexual identity, the normalization of and of sexualization in schools, the race pandering, how you're a victim, you're oppressed, you're the oppressor, and all the foreign, like the foreign policy virtual signaling with Ukraine and Russia. Oh, Ukraine is 100% angels. Their government is great. And Russia's bad, 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 bad. I'm not a Putin sympathizer. I'm not a commie lover. But Ukraine is one of the most corrupt governments out there. It always has been. It is a playground for money laundering for the United States. And I could talk for hours on that, but I'm not going to waste time. And I get Republicans want to campaign on lowering taxes and spending. And yeah, that's all great. Other types of all fiscal policy, great. But again, it's not an attention grabber for voters now, especially young voters. Young voters, they want to know that their freedom of speech is intact, that their Second Amendment rights are intact, that we're doing something about the southern border and all of the illegals that are coming here. And it's not that we're, we're white supremacists because we don't want them here. No, that's not it. Again, and that's the spin they'll take on it, they'll put on it. It's we want the legal immigration system to be strengthened and to run more efficient, where if these people do want to come, that there's a path for legal immigration and not just coming here and being trafficked here and dying in the back of trucks, being snuck in here in the sun and being sold and children being sold and into sex slavery with the drug cartels. Now Joe Biden wants to propose a new ID program for illegal migrants. And this is interesting because, you know, so they can track them. But I thought the Democrats and the left thought IDs were illegal. I mean, racist, not illegal. Racist. They say it should be illegal because ID is racist to vote. But they want to give illegals IDs. They say that it won't allow them to vote, but what they also say is the ID will, they had a name for it, secure docket card, and it's expected to have a photo on it. Now, this is something that we have to pay for. Again, you and I are paying for it. American tax dollars are paying for it. We're funding this. So we're funding all of these benefits of the people coming over. We're funding the debit cards, the clothing, the hotel stays, the bus flight, the bus fares, the airfares, everything, the medical treatment, everything. Where, and this is all after all this money was spent on a border wall that, well, it was being built and is still paid for and was securing the border under Trump while it was being finished. Anyway, now we have to pay for this ID system, this secure docket card. Have a photo on it, supposed to have biographic identifiers as well as a QR code and have a bunch of information on it, which most of the information on it's probably not going to be accurate because they're going to be reluctant to give actual accurate information for the card that we're paying for that is a big waste of fucking money. And they said that the card would be accepted as an ID, and they say it may eventually be accepted by the TSA for air travel, but it couldn't be used to register to vote. And that with that, I say yet, because I still say it, that this open border is just one of the, it is the largest Democrat voting registration events in modern U.S. history. I still believe that because they have tricks up their sleeve every step of the way. And I believe they want them here. They came up with this ID system to pull a bag over our faces. And eventually this ID would be transferred into a driver's license in the state that these illegals are residing in. And then all of a sudden, you know, it comes with registering to for a driver's license. They always ask when you renew, oh, well, you registered to vote. And then,
well, yeah.
Then all of a sudden, right under our noses, with a flick of a pen, because you know how they do things in the dark of night, the cover of night, that we'll have millions of illegals with these IDs that turn into driver's licenses, that turn into voter registration cards. But first, before they do it, they need the House and the Senate to appropriate $10 million for the program. That's how much the ID program is going to cost. $10 million. Oh, it doesn't seem like a lot. It doesn't seem like a lot because we keep sending billions of dollars everywhere else. And we keep spending billions of dollars on bullshit COVID relief that was scammed. We send how many billions over to Ukraine, which is a scam. So $10 million now to us doesn't seem like a lot. It's like when we hear $10 million, we think, ah, it's like a few thousand now because we have billions and billions of dollars being thrown around everywhere. So, IDs. ID systems for illegals. So, you know, we have illegals coming here. We're selling all of our oil. Food storage facilities are burning down. The Amish farmers are getting raided by U.S. Marshals and being told that they can't butcher meat and sell meat, even if they have private membership farms. Yes, U.S. Marshals are raiding Amish farms. Look it up if you don't believe me. Look it up. Uniformed, armed federal agents are raiding Amish farms, telling them that they can't sell food to their thousands of customers that depend on them. Why is that? Why is China the biggest investor in U.S. real estate last year? Why? Why were they able to come into the United States and spend $6.1 billion on homes in both Florida and California? Not to mention all of the Chinese investors that are buying farmland, just like Bill Gates is doing, who apparently supposedly wants to basically rent it out, that farmland to farmers. What are they going to be farming? So you have all these Chinese banks coming in. Interest rates, again, the Federal Reserve just announced that the interest rates are rising, I think by, I forgot what they say, like 0.75% or something like that. I saw it quick. I didn't get a chance to look into it. But they're pricing people out of homes now. You're not going to be able to just afford a mortgage. This is what they're doing. But yeah, the Chinese are just buying up real estate, and that's just $6.8 billion in homes and land last year. And that's the Chinese Communist Party, Taiwan, Hong Kong, they're all buying land. Meanwhile, there are countries out there that won't allow foreign investors to buy land in their country. Why are we allowing it? I said the investors are spending an average of $1 million per property transaction. And they say 31% of the purchases involving property in California and a lot in Florida. So, and now, you know, due to the rising interest rates, They say the overall sales of homes are going to decline. And it's going to keep happening because people aren't going to afford the mortgages. And these are what chief economists are saying, you know, but we're not in a recession. We're not in a recession. We're not heading towards a recession because, you know, the White House changed the definition of a recession. So they say that the top investors in United States real estate right now in order are, and this is from, so you had China's number one, right? That's 6.1 billion. Canada comes in at 5.5 billion. India comes in at 3.6 billion. Mexico at 2.9 billion and Brazil at 1.6 billion. And Florida was a state that has the most real estate purchases. That was according to a report just last year. And that represented the 14th consecutive year that foreign investors picked Florida as a top choice. California ranks second. So what are they doing with all this property? They're going to build homes. The banks are going to build homes. And they're going to hold on to them. They're going to rent them. You know, remember, you own nothing and you'll be happy. That all part of the program. And then the, you know, Texas, the Chinese are buying meat processing plants. They're buying farms everywhere, farmland. And we're allowing this. We're going to allow the communist government of China to be involved in United States agriculture. I mean, if this isn't bizarro world, then I don't know what is. So, you know, again, all right, China, come on in. Come on in. Again, there's so much. And then the drug cartels, again, with the southern border. I didn't even mention this. New York Times put out an article that the drug cartels, this is unbelievable. They get $13 billion a year, basically, from Joe Biden allowing all of these. They're making $13 billion a year for Joe Biden allowing all these migrants to come in. Literally, coyotes and cartels, they're averaging are earning, and it's probably more than that, $13 billion a year by delivering these economic migrants to U.S. workplaces. All by means of Joe Biden's welcoming border agencies, all the non-government organizations and things like that. So, and that the current, they say the current revenue is 20 for the cartels at $13 billion. It's 26 times larger than the $500 million the cartels earned under President Donald Trump's low migration policies. So, I mean, there's a Hyundai plant. I forget where it was. It was in Arizona, I believe, or New Mexico, where they found like 50 underage illegal migrants working. Like they had a child labor force there working in a Hyundai subsidized auto plant. These smugglers are making millions, hundreds of thousands, the lowest level to millions. And they're delivering, you know, just tens of thousands of foreign children and teenagers that are looking for jobs in the United States. And they're putting them to workplaces. And our government is complicit in it. They're not going to school, child labor force. And again, you know, on top of that, it just never ends. It's one bizarre happening or story after another. We're literally allowing the World Economic Forum and the World Health Organization to dictate what our country is going to do during pandemics and health crises, you know, monkeypox, COVID, all of this nonsense. World Health Organization just appointed a member of the Communist Party of Britain to an advisory panel, and they call this woman a veteran Communist Party member. I actually have this Breitbart put it out. A veteran Communist Party, I'll
during
throw it up here. A veteran
and health
Communist
crises.
Party of Britain member has
crises.
Been appointed chair of a World Health
you know,
Organization
monkeypox.
Lead advisory group. Professor COVID, Susan Michie, she's the director
World
of the Center of Behavior
just
Change.
Appointed a
Center of
member
Behavior
of the,
Change.
What
Communist
exactly
Party
does
of
that
Britain?
Mean? To an advisory panel,
what are they,
and they call this woman
behavior,
a
that's
veteran
interesting.
Communist Party member.
University College of London. She's going to head the
this,
World Health Organization's Technical Advisory Group
on
a
Behavioral
Communist
Insights
Party
and
on
Sciences.
A veteran
oh,
so Communist follow, well, Party
she's
of
help
Britain
us
member
follow
has been
science.
Appointed chair of a
so
World
we go.
Health no, Organization.
Monkey,
the World Health Organization. Professor
COVID.
Susan
who apparently
our
government,
the Center of
Members of our Government, and other places.
Center of Behavior
Change. Head over heels about
what
it and looking
does
up
that
to
mean
to an advisory
are now appointing
what do they call this woman
Communist
veteran
Party members from other countries who are going to influence what our CDC or you know federal Department of Health or OSHA or who knows what about what you know are we getting ready for climate change lockdowns, are we getting ready for monkeypox lockdowns, are we getting ready, what are we getting ready for? Whatever it is they're throwing at us, I'm hoping that you hear the words coming out of my mouth and you already know it before I say it, that you are not going to comply. And we have to stop playing along with this disgusting commie nonsense that they're throwing at us. This is what they're not going to stop. Between this and destroying our cities and police departments and law enforcement and vilifying law enforcement and vilifying American citizens who want to defend themselves by owning a firearm, who exercising their Second Amendment right to do so, vilifying every good thing. They're vilifying the Constitution, these demonic pieces of shit is what they're doing, okay? And we have to stop allowing them. The mayor of Chicago, Beetlejuice, Lori Lightfoot, who, listen, Chicago was always a bad, seedy place. But when she became mayor, she allowed it to get worse. And she worked hard to defund the police. She called her own police department racist. Literally, when you have your football team, the Chicago Bears, the Bears, they want to, they're leaving. They're leaving their stadium in Chicago to go to another stadium in the outskirts, in the suburbs, where the crime isn't horrible. And what is Lori Lightfoot doing? Instead of saying, all right, let me start cleaning up the area. Let me start cleaning up the streets and refunding my police department. No. Instead, she's proposing a $2.2 billion upgrade to Soldier Field to keep the Chicago Bears from leaving crime-ridden Chicago. All right, so let me get this straight. This idiot, instead of, so $2.2 billion. So how about take $500 million? Okay, put it into the police department, put it into agencies that can help with law enforcement, okay? Anti-crime units, anti-gang units, patrols on the street, do something to crack down on the illegal gun activity, not going after the legal, law-abiding citizens who legally own guns. You know, Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws, but, you know, everybody gets shot in Chicago on a Saturday night. $500 million, maybe $900 million. I mean, she wants to throw $2.2 billion just to say, hey, Chicago Bears, don't leave, don't leave. And the Chicago Bears are refusing to meet with her. They're like, no, you're done, lady. You're a piece of shit. You can take your $2.2 billion. She has like three options on how the renovations could go. How about instead of renovating the stadium, they're not leaving because the stadium is falling apart. They're leaving because the crime around the stadium is ridiculous and people going there are getting robbed and shot to see them play. So the lowest plan she proposed was $900 million, and the most expensive was $2.2 billion, just to upgrade a stadium. Well, take that money and put it into your police department. Take that money and start doing some urban renewal, some community revitalization, so something to fight the crime, to clean up the neighborhood. Like, she's in this fantasy world. And there are so many Democrat mayors and governors that feel this way. They're not addressing the crime. I mean, you have people jumping turnstiles in New York City subways who are getting stopped by police who know that even if they get arrested, they're going to be out the same day, that are getting in all-out brawls and fistfights with police officers. Getting arrested for assaulting a police officer and still getting released with no cash bail. Just at released. We know you beat the shit out of a cop on a subway platform today. You fought with three of them. You injured at least one. You injured a uniformed police officer, but you're out. ROR, released on your own recognizance. We know you have a criminal record. Hopefully you come back to court. Emboldening criminals, empowering criminals, knowing that they can just do this and, I'll get arrested. I'll be home in time for dinner. I'll be home in time before, the bodega on the corner closes, as Jill Biden used to say. Yeah, says, the bodega, you dumb bitch. If you haven't realized, I get offensive. If you're offended, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. You shouldn't be offended by anything at this point. I curse. Get over it. This is what I do. And I just talk about real shit. I mean, how are these people? It's hard to believe that there's this many just stupid people in this country that are okay with the decaying of their communities. There was an article I saw. I forgot to secure it for the show. In Portland, they were talking to people that there are literally people in tears when they wake up, looking outside in residential areas and finding like homeless encampments taking over their block and people pissing in their rose bushes on their front lawn. Homeless people and criminals, because the Portland mayor, who's a borderline communist and just hates the police department and loves lawlessness, is allowing this to happen. You're paying your property taxes. You have a community. You wake up. You want to go to work, you walk outside and there's two homeless people peeing in your rose bushes, and they set up a tent overnight in the middle of your driveway so you can't pull your car out. I mean, this is what's happening in Portland, where they're fighting or rioting about something. And you're walking, with your kid in a carriage on the Upper West Side of New York City, and you're getting shot in the face in broad daylight in an area that is supposed to be, beautiful and affluent, and during the day you have to worry about getting shot in the face. Again, this is what they want. Cori Bush says it, Ilhan Omar says it, AOC says it, Ayanna Pressley, the squad, defund the police, dismantle the police, dismantle the criminal justice system, abolish prisons, and let them all out in the hopes that they'll all kill every white conservative out there and we can just take over and have just a shithole to live in, But on a lighter note, people, that transgender swimmer, that man, that dude, Leah Thomas, this defund the dude, police, dismantle that guy, the police, that's dismantle guy, the criminal justice guy, system, abolish prisons,
could make it as a male swimmer,
and
swimming
let
as
them all
a
out.
Man dressed
in
up
the hopes
in a woman's bathing suit,
kill every white conservative,
mental illness,
out there, and
transgender swimmer Leah Thomas.
And have
I think his first name is actually William. Actually,
loses bid for NCAA Woman of
but
the Year.
But on a lighter note, people,
first of all, wrap around your head
that
this
transgender swimmer,
mentally
that
ill,
man,
that
man
dude,
who dresses up as a woman and
Leah
swims
Thomas,
as a woman, was actually nominated
the police,
dude, by the
guy,
University
guy,
of Pennsylvania, I believe,
could make it
for
swimmer,
and swimming
NCAA
in a woman's bathing suit,
every
woman of the
mental
year,
illness, and
transgender swimmer.
This is what's happening
now. Because
first name is actually
so.
Mm. finally, the Ivy Leagues, some Ivy League school came to their senses and said, yeah, this one's not going to make the cut. Built wrong. I don't think they outright said that, of course, because everybody's woke. But somebody else for fencing, some other actual woman who fences sword fighting, won Woman of the Year. But we are allowing, I mean, what does Victoria's Secret still have men models that dress up as women, right? That was a thing. I know they had fat models, and then they had transgender models or transgender swimsuit models, or you can't. They ask you to follow the science. You follow the science. You realize there's only two genders, and then they get all bent out of shape, and you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're a transphobe. I'm not afraid of any of them. I'm just not going to play the game. I refuse to play the game. I refuse to play along. And if more people refuse to play along, this would not be an issue. This would not be part of the culture war. But because not enough people are fighting back, and they're just going, well, I don't want to be controversial. So it's okay if the school nurse is assisting, a sixth grader with getting puberty blockers and being called a girl when he's a boy and not telling his parents. Yeah, I'm not playing that game. I'd imagine most people that are listening or you're not going to play that game either. Another big reason is get your kids out of public schools. Get your kids out of public schools. It's not even an argument anymore. That's another video I have to pull up. That's another one. I mean, it's I don't know if you saw this one. This is a high school teacher who's actually a drag queen when he's not teaching, when he's not indoctrinating, he's a drag queen. So he brings his drag queen persona and his bullshit and his queerness, that's what they call it, to be safe. Well, it's just everyone should be queer. No. Has transformed his classroom into basically a gay nightclub. And so check this out. He's not teaching. When he's not indoctrinating, he's a drag queen. So he brings his drag queen persona and his bullshit and his queerness, that's what they call it, to be safe.
Whoa. Say hello and I don't look like I'm at home, friends. You guys, you don't know me. And your mom on the way. Look at the guy that won't wait. I'm not coming down from this. Got a new vibe from this.
Disco balls, rainbow flicks, trans flicks.
Got a new vibe from this.
The music. Public school people. Public school. That's what they call it, to be safe.
Whoa, say hello and I don't look like I'm at home, friends. You guys, you don't know me. And your mom on the way.
It's a teacher. How many of you have kids? How many of your kids are still in public school? I'm not shaming you. I don't want anyone to think that. People can do it. People can't do it. I pulled my kid out a year ago. She's in a homeschool co-op. I was able to do it. I encourage everybody to do it. There are programs that will assist you how to do it. You don't have to quit your job and sit home and play teacher. No, that you don't have to do. I don't teach my kid. I do, but I'm not the teacher of my child. My child goes to a homeschool co-op with about 100 other children with teachers. Does 6 classes a day and learns a lot of cool shit. And then me and my wife supplement. Like my daughter, she's 9 years old, and she knows the amendments in the Constitution. I go over them with her. The Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, everything. You know, she knows about slavery. She knows that slavery was very bad. But she's not sat down in a classroom and said that you're white, so you're the oppressor, and you should hate America because it's inherently racist and misogynistic. No. No, they don't get to do that to my kid, and they shouldn't get to do it to yours. And this is the problem, is that it's being allowed and that it's being revered and celebrated, like these pronouns. The pronoun thing is now being inserted in everything. It's being inserted in corporate training. It's being inserted in politics. It's being inserted everywhere you go. What are your pronouns? You have to call this person they, them. You have to call this person a bunny. This person a unicorn. This person she, shims, g, z, z, a, y, x. I don't know what the fuck your pronoun is. I don't care what your pronoun is. I'm not a huge fan of Ted Cruz, but he just recently said his pronouns are kiss my ass, and I tend to agree with that. My pronouns are fuck off. My name is Alan. Call me Alan. I'm a dude. You can say he. You can say whatever you want. Call me asshole. Call me scumbag. A lot of people do. But now this is, again, part of the culture war, which people have to wake up to, especially Republican candidates and Republican politicians. Like, we don't want our kids coming home from public school saying, well, today I was they, them, and they had me wear pronoun buttons because of these infiltrating indoctrinators that pose as teachers that get jobs because they can't get a job anywhere else. They become a teacher. No offense to real good teachers out there. None at all. Please don't take offense. But this is what they're doing, and they're coming in, and they're making you look bad. They're making the whole education system and what a teacher is bad because they are fake. They're imposters. They're not teachers. They're indoctrinators, and they're trying to push this agenda that they're being indoctrinated with from these sick leftist universities now onto small, impressionable children. And I'm done with it. I'm done with it. Fuck it. It's not happening to my child, no matter what. No matter what. I will die on that hill, 100%. And we need more parents that are willing to fight the same fight. You're not injecting my kid with anything. And you're not going to sit there and tell my kid that she's an oppressor because she's white. And you're not going to tell my kid that she has to call that boy in her class Sally because that's what the kid wants to be called. No, that kid's name is Harry, and it's a boy. He shouldn't be wearing a fucking dress in the fifth grade. Maybe you should have your kid psychologically tested because it's a mental illness. No, it's not. Okay. Well, then that person has a mental illness. But, you know, you have our president. This is creepy. I don't know what the meeting was, but our vice president, Kamala Harris, who's probably going to end up being president, not elected, of course. I mean, it's like I'm watching a movie where you're programmed and must talk and act a certain way. And you might have seen this one too. And Kamala Harris sits down at a table and she's actually talking about what she's wearing and her pronouns in the introduction, and they all go around the room doing it. I don't know what the meeting was.
Look at this. With the mask on. Listen to this.
President Kamala Harris. I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion.
I mean,
about some of the most pressing issues.
It's like I'm watching a movie. Where you're programmed.
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
Kamala Harris is down at a table and she's actually talking about what she's wearing and her pronouns. In the introduction.
What? I'm gonna play it again.
I have to. Doing it.
I have to.
I don't know what the meeting was.
This.
Look at this. The mask on. Listen to this.
This is beyond sickness. This is beyond.
This is real life. What's going on?
I mean, I feel like it's
bad role playing. This is serious.
I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion and about some of the most pressing issues of our time.
What? I'm gonna play it again. I have to. Doing it.
I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I'm a woman sitting at the table.
This is beyond sickness. This is beyond. This is real life. What's going on? I mean, Kamala Harris might as well be sitting at that table with a fucking clown suit on because that is what she is. Anyone that starts a meeting, I don't care what venue it is. I don't care if you're the vice president, a CEO of a corporation. I don't care what you are, but anyone that starts a conversation with, I'm sorry, but hi, I'm Alan, and my pronouns are, what is it, he, him, and I'm sitting at this desk with my AR-15 shirt on, oh, which, by the way, this American flag AR-15 shirt, hold on, let me get you a better. There's my it's my American flag AR-15 shirt. They're actually available on my website, and I'll ship them right out if you want one. TheGreatDivide1776.com. And while I'm promoting the shirt, I got to stop and I have to recognize my big sponsor, Mike Lindell, MyPillow.com. You go over to MyPillow.com, you use my promo code GREAT1776. You could save 16%. I'm sorry, up to 66% on hundreds of amazing products. They have the slippers. They have the Giza sheets, the bath towels. They got pillow toppers. They got beds. They got pajamas. They got dog beds. My dog, I have 105-pound German Shepherd, Stallone. He loves the MyPillow dog bed. They also have, you can go over to mystore.com. They have all kinds of stuff over at mystore.com. They have some tools and stuff. You can use my promo code over there as well on some products. My promo code GREAT1776. You get deep discounts everywhere. MyPillow.com, MyStore.com. But over at MyStore.com, Mike Lindell just released My Coffee. I hope he does bacon next. Someone on my social media being like all, you know, he was obviously a leftist troll like, oh, what is he going to have next? And I go, well, I hope he has bacon, my bacon, because I love bacon, asshole. You know, he's being all douchey, whatever. I got no time for douchebags. Mikey Lindell, the humble pillow farmer, that now has My Coffee. You can, and I just got a sack of the ground coffee sent to me. It's really good, and I'm a coffee snob. Mike, mystore.com, go over and get the My Coffee, great 1776. I think you can save 25% on the coffee, but go to mypillow.com, 66% on hundreds of products. Great sponsor of the show. Mike Lindell, he's always out there fighting election integrity. He's taking the beatings from the left. He's putting a lot of money into this election integrity initiative. He's out there speaking. He's out there fighting the good fight. I like Mike Lindell, and he so graciously sponsors my show, My Pillow. Again, the promo code GREAT1776. All right, enough of that selling crap. So thanks, Mike, MyPillow.com. All right, so a couple other things I wanted to get through. I came across this. All right, why are so many young people dying? Why are so many young, healthy people dying from sports athletes? I had like two Little League players drop dead in my area over a few months. Like, why are they dying? It's a rhetorical question. I mean, healthy people. And they're not old. Talk about young, healthy people. So I came across this this article. Hold on. TimesNowNews.com. I found this interesting. And there's a report going around saying that people are having, young people, young healthy people are having heart attacks. That's a red flag right there. Because of a popular shower habit. And no, it's not what you think. It's not what, you know, like a 13-year-old boy does in the shower. No. They say taking cold showers could trigger heart attacks in healthy people. You heard it right here. You might have heard it somewhere else. But I have the article.
People
here.
Are having, young people, Times young healthy people now. Are having
this,
heart attacks.
This is just, again,
that's
again.
A red flag right there.
They really think people believe this?
Of a popular shower habit.
I mean, do
no,
people believe
it's
this?
Not, it's not
that
what
people
you think.
Are taking what, cold you know, showers and they're dying
like a 13-year-old
heart
boy
attacks
does in the
because
no.
of a cold shower.
They say
so initial heart attack symptoms include shortness of breath, joint chest pain.
Healthy people,
you
are common
heard it right here. You might have heard
for heart attack
else.
Victims.
But however, certain external factors could contribute to the onset of this condition in heart disease patients. Exposure to a sudden gush of water.
All
right, so. Is it healthy people or is it a condition
really
in heart disease patients? Because it's saying that we're talking about people dying,
that people are taking what, cold you know, showers and they're dying
just
like
out of the blue.
Heart attacks.
They say plunging into cold water during hot weather may cause heart attacks in young, fit, and healthy people. This is due to a chest pain. Autonomic conflict, which can trigger abnormal heart rhythms.
However, certain external factors could contribute
in extreme cases
of
this condition, sudden
heart disease.
You know that sudden death syndrome that they all talk about? So now they're going to blame blame. So is it healthy people or is it a condition and heart disease patients?
They're trying to sell this as all these people are dying from cold showers.
Doesn't that mean that you have to die in the shower? You know, a lot of heart people who are having chest pains who are having heart attacks that go undetected. Yeah. So I was, I used to work on an ambulance in New York City for quite a while. And we used to get a lot of calls for people not breathing on the toilet. And a lot of times when you are having a heart attack, you have that you're having chest pains and maybe you don't know you're having a heart attack, but you're having chest pains, it's pressure. And you have the sudden urge to go to the bathroom. You have a sudden urge to take a dump. Okay. And people go in there and they get on the toilet and like, I just got to go to the bathroom and I'll feel better. And they'll bear down and squeeze like they're pinching that loaf, except they don't have to take a dump. It's just the urge. And they do what's called vasovagal. Your heart rate slows down dramatically. Every time you take a crap and you push, your heart rate drops significantly. I have people tell me, oh, it's funny. Every time I take a dump, I get dizzy. That's because you're vasovagal and you're almost at the verge of passing out. That's what that is. So I had a friend of mine's girlfriend. She pushed out a fart once. I'm not even kidding. She pushed so hard to get this fart out, apparently, and she passed out doing it. She fell on the floor. She passed out because she bared down, vasovagal, and she passed out. So then you're having a heart attack and your heart rate lowers, and then that's it. It gives out. The heart stops. And I can't tell you how many heart attack victims I have found dead on their toilet. A lot. And by the time they're found, they're usually stiff as a board and they're done. They're dead. They can't be resuscitated. They're blue. They're stuck there. So you got to pry them off the toilet and they're still in their seated position from rigor mortis because they've been there for so long. But whatever, not to give you too much of a graphic. So the young people aren't dying from cold showers. I think anybody with a rational head on their shoulders realizes that there's a lot of things going on where people are dying from complications with that magical juice that was going around, if you know what I mean. You know that Dr. Fauci promoted magical juice. Speaking of Dr. Fauci, my man, the Faucinator. So, another guy. So, first, I don't even know where to start with him. So, there's a little bit of a fact check with him. Old Anthony Fauci, who apparently is, you know, what he says he's retiring, whatever. I find it hard to believe. I don't think he's going to go yet. But he falsely claimed that he never recommended shutdowns to fight COVID. He actually said that. He gave an interview and said that he claimed he never advised the president to call for public shutdown to help fight COVID, which is a lie because he did back 2 years ago, I believe it was in October. And he said he had to give the advice to shut the country down. Now, I don't know if he's just going senile like his boss, Joe Biden. And he's off the reservation, Sleepy Joe. I don't think so. It's just one of those. Well, he's an unelected bureaucrat who makes a lot of money. The highest paid unelected federal government bureaucrat in the federal government makes more than the president. And he's, you know, when he was asked, he said, you know, first of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down. He's talked about the CDC's recommendations and everything, and he did. So I have that video courtesy of, I think, Conservative Ronin. It is the influencer on Instagram. Just give me one second. I'm going to get it up here. I'm not going to get it up here. It's not what I meant. All right. So let's get the mind out of the gutter here. All right. Sickos. He was asked.
So here's Dr. Fauci with the anything down.
Interview.
Yeah.
He's talked about the CDC's and then, recommendations.
You'll see
and everything
the
and
old
did.
Interview. Yeah.
Recommend so locking down schools if you had to do it all over again.
Well, you know, again, it's first of all, I didn't recommend locking anything down. You're asking me questions. You're talking about the CDC is the public health agency. And I have always felt, and you go back and look at my statements, that we need to do everything we can to keep the schools open and safe.
Hold up. Wait a minute.
It was a decision to make a recommendation to the president.
Locking down
schools,
you had to do it all over again.
That I could implement. Well, and when it became clear that we didn't recommend locking anything down, you're asking questions about the CDC, the public health agency, and I have
this
always
was way before go back and look there was at my a major statements. Explosion like this.
We need to do everything we can driven by New York City metropolitan area.
I recommended to the president that we shut the country. It was a decision to make a recommendation.
And that was a very difficult decision.
It was because I knew it would have serious economic consequences.
Well, which it did.
And unfortunately, since we actually did not shut down completely in the country the way China did, the way Korea did, this way Taiwan did, we actually did see it spread even though we shut down.
Why are you lying? Why are you always lying?
So there you have it. Flip-flop Fauci again. Again, flip-flop Fauci, literally. I didn't call for lockdowns. Well, yeah, I recommended we lock down the country. You know, like China and, you know, all the other commies. We didn't lock down enough, basically. Another liar. But he's lied how many times? But what's crazy is now they're talking about this monkeypox nonsense. You know, that only homosexuals are supposed to get, you know, like... Back when they said that AIDS was just a gay disease, but now monkeypox is just a gay disease, apparently. But supposedly two kids tested positive for monkeypox. So I'd like to know how that works. What happened there? Two children. I don't know how old. Try not to think about it. It's kind of sick. But they said now Dr. Fauci, there's a monkeypox emergency declaration, which is under active consideration. Anything this man says or puts together should not be taken into any consideration. He should not be working. He should be dealing with a trial. He should be charged with many things. Animal cruelty, just crimes against humanity, just being a complete treasonous, trading piece of shit. But they're actively considering declaring the spread of monkeypox in the United States an emergency, which... Again, is this there because they think that over 50% of the country is gay, homosexual, which they like to play with? But the midterms are coming, people. They need something to hold on to. They're going after Donald Trump, the DOJ, officially investigating him for attempting to overturn the 2020 election. First of all, how could he possibly overturn the 2020 election? By saying he didn't agree with the results and saying that the election was stolen, because the Democrats for decades have been saying that their elections have been rigged and stolen. I mean, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, they all said it. So why aren't they being investigated for trying to overturn the 2016 election? It's wild. It's wild. But... This is where we're at. And you have these... This is another article I found interesting. FBI whistleblowers, possibly. Chuck Grassley, who's a Republican senator. He claimed that... He has highly credible whistleblowers that say the FBI and DOJ downplay negative Hunter Biden information, which I think anybody could buy at this point. I think Hunter Biden has more than 9 lives, and I think that the protection and the cover-ups go very, very, very deep. I think people are getting tired of that. So Senator Chuck Grassley, who I have mixed feelings about, he's very old, and he's going to run for re-election, and I'm really having mixed feelings on these old politicians that are running for re-election that are just... You're old, man. It's time. It's time to wrap it up. But then people say, well, what about Donald Trump? And I say, well, he's a different type of old. I mean, look at the Joe Biden old and look at the Donald Trump old. You know, Donald Trump's probably sharper than most of us. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe they have to take a cognitive test or something. I don't know. Anyway. Senator Chuck Grassley claimed that highly credible whistleblowers informed him of efforts within the FBI and the Justice Department to downplay or dismiss negative information about Hunter Biden. Now, According to letters reviewed by CBS News, Grassley, the ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, wrote FBI Director Christopher Wray and Attorney General Merrick Garland, alleging that sources within the FBI presented him evidence of attempts to downplay or discredit information about Hunter Biden, which, well, he was the vice president's son. Now he's a sitting president's son. We know all these unelected bureaucrats and all of these directors. They answer to the higher up bureaucrats who think they're planted there and they know better. And a lot of them are leftists, and they're going to protect who they can protect to avoid scandals and other things. Chuck Grassley said, the information provided to my office involves concerns about the FBI's receipt and use of derogatory information relating to Hunter Biden and the FBI's false portrayal of acquired evidence as disinformation. The volume and consistency of these allegations substantiate their credibility and necessitate this letter, wrote Senator Grassley. He said, first, it's been alleged that the FBI developed information in 2020 about Hunter Biden's criminal, financial, and related activity. He continued, it is further alleged that in August 2020, FBI Supervisor Intelligence Analyst Brian Orton opened an assessment which was used by an FBI headquarters team to improperly discredit negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation and caused investigative activity to cease. That's almost like the mainstream media taking a source, taking a story that we know is true, and then telling us that no, that's misinformation and disinformation. That's not true. And if you post it on your social media or you talk about it, we're going to deplatform you. We're going to take away your accounts. And we're going to call you a conspiracy theorist if you do talk about that alleged misinformation. But now this is just on a different level. When we know Hunter Biden is a piece of shit, he's a druggie, drug user, drug dealer, weird things with his niece, financial and business dealings that are probably full of fraud and crime and who knows what else, that the FBI is now discrediting all of that information as disinformation to protect Hunter Biden. Does it surprise you at all? Senator Grassley's letter further alleged that just 1 month before the 2020 election, an avenue of derogatory Hunter Biden reporting was ordered closed by a senior FBI agent at the Bureau's Washington field office. The allegations provided to my office appear to indicate that there was a scheme in place among certain FBI officials to undermine derogatory information connected to Hunter Biden by falsely suggesting it was disinformation. That's what the senator wrote. CBS News noted that more than 150 financial transactions involving either Hunter or James Biden, Joe Biden's brother, weird guy, not a lawyer, but works for a law firm and uses the Biden name, very weird. James Biden's global business affairs were flagged as concerning by U.S. banks for further review. So more than 150 financial transactions involving Hunter Biden and Joe Biden's brother with their global business affairs were flagged as concerning by U.S. banks and wanted them reviewed and investigated. Delaware U.S. Attorney David Weiss, whose office has been investigating potential tax fraud, money laundering, and foreign influence peddling, declined to comment on whether his office was aware of the FBI allegedly labeling accusations against Hunter Biden disinformation or if it had influenced his probe. So this is some of this happened right before the 2020 election. So, I mean, could have this have any election influence or anything like that from our federal government? I mean, it wouldn't be the first time the FBI has been involved in meddling in our elections, you know, and other federal agencies. So there was another letter back in May that Senator Grassley accused Timothy Thibault, the senior FBI agent at the Bureau's Washington field office, of possibly violating federal laws, regulations, and Federal Bureau of Investigation guidelines. Whistleblowers have reported to the senator that although the FBI and Justice Department maintain policies dictating specific standards requiring substantial factual prediction to initiate an investigation, Thibault and other Justice Department and FBI employees failed to comply with these requirements, again, wrote the senator. So, I mean, there's some concern there. There should be an investigation. Who are these whistleblowers? Are they going to put them in front of the Judiciary Committee? Are they going to have them speak out in a congressional hearing? It's what's Merrick Garland going to do? Or are they just going to focus on Trump, 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 Trump? You know, it just goes on and on and on about how the FBI basically took a lot of accurate information and turned it into and made it look like disinformation. Well, if the FBI says it's disinformation, then the FBI says it's disinformation. Again, it's clown world and it's a game. It's a game. They spin everything, just like the abortion issue, where AOC turns around and AOC will turn around and say that a ectopic pregnancy, if a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, which an ectopic pregnancy is it's in the fallopian tube and it can't sustain life. And if it goes untreated, it could kill the woman. That's not an abortion, because this is something that can't sustain life. But she goes on AOC throwing gas on the fire with the Roe v. Wade and all that Dobbs and all that nonsense that, you know, a woman shouldn't have to risk death if she had an ectopic pregnancy within the wrong state lines where she couldn't get it treated, which has been debunked by many doctors, many OBGYNs. OBGYNs that I know have said, no, it's not the case. It's not an abortion. It's a life-threatening issue with a woman with her reproductive system, and it's in the fallopian tube. It's not like it's a baby in the womb that you're going in there with gadgets and stabbing and sucking out and killing and murdering and dismembering. No, it's not the same thing. So, and just so happens that there's a senator who's an OBGYN. So OBGYN, he's a senator, Roger Marshall, just came out. He's from Republican from Kansas. He's an obstetrician, gynecologist. He wrote, it was an op-ed he put out. He said, and there's a thing that the OBGYN is taught in school. Don't let the sun set on an ectopic pregnancy, or I think it's any pregnancy. But they were taught that in the first week of their OBGYN residency. This is according to Senator Roger Marshall, who is an OBGYN. And he says it's as true as today as it was before and after, you know, Roe and after Dobbs. So he also, he went on to say, he said, make no mistake about it, an ectopic pregnancy is always a life-threatening condition, and the reality of being sued for delay in treatment far outweighs the misguided cry of those who say physicians will withhold treatment. So doctors won't withhold treatment for an ectopic pregnancy, worried about, well, I can't do an abortion, it's illegal in this state. Because again, abortion is not illegal. They took it away from the feds, they gave it back to the states. You have a vote. If you want abortion to be legal in your state, then vote for the representatives that want to support abortion in their state. If you want abortion to be banned and be illegal in your state, well, then vote for the politicians that will represent you and ban it and make it illegal in your state. And we, the people, now decide, because it's back at the state. And we decide by voting on the representatives we want in there. So that's how that works, morons. So again, debunked, because the left wants you to believe that the reversal of Roe will lead to these life-threatening ectopic pregnancies not being treated. And it's not true. And every OBGYN knows that, because it's not, it's a myth. It's a myth. It's not an abortion. It's not. It's in the fallopian tube. It can't sustain life in the fallopian tube. It's there. So, and they say that those kind of pregnancies, ectopic pregnancies, they account for one in every 50 pregnancies. And most of the time they occur in the fallopian tube instead of the uterus, meaning the fertilized egg cannot survive. So we had a little health lesson today. But I think most people realize, smart people know, that ectopic pregnancies are not abortions. But AOC, and they'll all put the flames on the fire, saying that it is, just to drive their narrative, just to derive their support base. AOC is a useless member of Congress. She's never had any type of legislation passed. She's never produced any type of legislation worth more than toilet paper. The new Green Deal, the Green New Deal, whatever the fuck, the stupid Green Deal. How about that? She is just there as a fire starter. She's there as a rabble rouser. She is there to play up to her millions of followers on social media. AOC is a social media influencer with a congressional pin and a key to the Capitol. That's all she is. And shame on those people that keep giving it to her, because she's doing nothing for them. And if you happen to be listening and have voted for AOC, you are an idiot. You have a lifetime membership to the ID10T club. You have, I'm sure, your ID10T card. Idiot. And people like you should not be allowed to make any type of rational, well, you can't make any rational decisions. So, oh my God, it's a clown world, people. I mean, you have to get out. Yes, AOC is nothing but an agitator. I mean, I'm Art in the chat. AOC should have been an abortion. So I'm not a proponent of abortion. I'm not going to completely disagree with you there. I often say something more of the lines like, maybe her mom should have swallowed instead. Oh, again, who did I offend? Who cares? Who cares? We have fun here. Who gives a shit? but there are things we have to look for in these candidates. One, America first. Two, they really have to be in tune to the culture war, what people are really, really, really in tune to. What are their kids being taught if they have families? What are their, yes, taxes are important. What are, you know, can they get a mortgage? Can they, are they being priced out of certain things? Are these candidates pro Second Amendment, or are they a rhino that wants to turn around and agree with banning something and they don't even know what they're banning? Because that's another problem with the whole gun narrative. An AR-15, big bad AR-15, auto, those fully semi-automatic weapons, which some people are calling them that, you know. It's, oh, I got another video to play. I got to play this one. Video, these are actually young people, some of which who voted for the first time ever for president and voted for Biden because they couldn't vote for Trump. Trump bad, orange man bad, so bad. Mean tweets, horrible. Oh, he's so horrible. He was a billionaire and used to bang models. Oh, he cheated on his wife before he was president. Oh, it's so, such a sin. It's so horrible. Fuck off. Anyway, I got, it's a short video, but it's a video of people that, the young people who regretted voting for Biden. I know quite a few, actually, that regret it. I talked to them as, I can't believe I voted for this guy, but I hated Trump. And then I said, well, some of them are, well, if Trump runs, like, would you, well, some of them are straight out, I'll never vote for a Democrat again. So that I follow that up with, well, if Donald Trump runs for president and he gets the nomination, would you vote for him over whoever gets a Democratic nomination? Some of them are absolutely not. I wouldn't vote at all, which whatever, stupid in itself. Others are maybe. Others are depending on who the Democrat is. I'm talking about people that are Democrats saying this. And others are, oh, fuck yeah, I'll vote for Donald Trump. Yep, bring him back. Bring him back. I'll vote for him. I voted for Joe Biden. I hated Donald Trump. I will vote for Donald Trump. That's what another answer I've gotten. So this is, I got it right here. You know, I produce my own show here. I don't have an earpiece where I say, hey, Mr. Producer, can you bring this clip up like some of these fancy shows? I do it all myself. I do it all. I got a post editor in the background if I need him, not live. So I do it. I enjoy it. try to bring you guys the best I can. I'm not a news anchor and I'm not a news actor. They can all go to hell.
Wait for Joe Biden. I hated Donald Trump.
Here's this video of young people who regretted voting.
Another answer
for
Joe Biden. So
Biden was the first person I ever actually voted for. I feel like our youth, they either don't have time to vote or they don't think that their vote matters. And so we aren't really informed on who to vote for. The media portrayed Biden as someone who was going to fix this country. And honestly, from my perspective, my personal experience, he's made it a whole lot worse for people like me who voted for him. So I feel not only embarrassed, but I just feel very manipulated by the media, like socially portraying him as don't have time to fix the country.
I voted for Biden back in 2020, and I seriously regret it.
I voted for Biden in 2020, and I definitely regret voting for him. I would not do it again.
The media portrayed Biden as someone who was going to fix this country,
There you go. I mean, and that's just a few. I mean, it was just a small clip I had. I'm sure there are so many. I talk to people who regret it constantly. We got someone, Jenny, Sydney, Australia. I crack you up. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. How are things in Australia right now? You guys had it crazy with the first, had all those wildfires. You had the COVID lockdowns. I heard in parts of Australia, you couldn't even like look at each other. Like you couldn't even make eye contact. They'd throw you in a COVID camp. I don't know. I hope things are better in Australia. I have friends there. I just saw something in Australia about the Victoria Ambulance Service was like overwhelmed and they couldn't keep up with all of the people sick. They weren't saying what it was from. I mean, yeah, how are they handling the pandemic? The scamdemic. Did any kangaroos die? Or koala bears? Besides the wildfires, any of them get, you know, over here they talk about, or what was it in China? They were killing animals. They were killing pets. Oh, that cat has COVID. You know, most cats will test positive for COVID. Whatever the thing is that they have, like feline COVID. They were going around like testing animals and taking them out in the street and killing them. Like they were all in Tyvek, like hazmat suits. These commies, like, don't kill Fido. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I'd rather see them shooting people. I the more time I spend with my dog is more time I realize I hate most humans. So I think a lot of people feel that way. I do. There's something out of Georgia, so Donald Trump endorsed Herschel Walker, which I think is great. Herschel Walker, Donald Trump have been friends for years. They have a very, very close relationship. And, you know, during that runoff, you had that racist Raphael Warnock won on the runoff because, you know, well, it was rigged. But also, it didn't help that after the election, the presidential election, Republicans in Georgia were like, my vote doesn't count. I'm not going out to vote. And they shot themselves in the foot. I honestly believe if they all got off their ass and voted, that they could have had a shot at keeping those two seats. I don't know how rhino-ish the Republicans were. But in any case, right now I just pulled something up. Warnock holds in polling is, you know, polling's stupid most of the time, but you got to look at them. There are some good polls out there. There are some reputable polling that's done in campaigns, but they're saying right now that Warnock, the sitting senator, garbage. He holds holds a narrow 3-point lead over Herschel Walker in that race. We still have a lot of time. It's still a lot can be done. That was released today. Poll was conducted by the University of Georgia Survey Research Center and published by the Atlanta Journal Constitution. It found Warnock at 46% and Walker at 43%, while 8% of respondents were undecided. The poll has a plus or minus 3.3% margin of error. But, you know, they're out there both fundraising. They're saying that the race is close. But this is what, all right. Talk about fundraising for a minute, okay? Because I say this a lot too, but I haven't said it often. I haven't said it recently, rather. If you're out there, because the midterms are, they're creeping up, man. They're right here. They're going to be here before you know it. You can't donate to the party. That's dark money. That's going to rhinos. You can't donate to the party. Have to donate to individual candidates, America First candidates. Please find an America First candidate that you want to donate to or you want to help. And they don't have to be in your state. You can support. I support Republican candidates all over the country with donations. Yeah, I'm in New York and Ohio, Washington State, Arizona, Jersey. You know, people that I feel are real America First candidates, like real fire brand America First candidates that I know could do well. I will give them my money. I will not give my money to the RNC. I will not give my money to the National Committee. None of it. And neither should you. If you want to donate, you donate to a specific candidate, and you should be doing research on the candidates. You should be looking at everything from their social medias, everything. That goes for even local elections. You got to get involved. Your governor elections, your mayor elections, your city or town council elections, you know, whatever it is. You have a sheriff. Just make sure that they're about freedom. They're about the people. They're not looking for power grabs, because that's where obviously we run into our problems, and we have to protect this. I carry it with me all the time, my pocket constitution. This is what we need to protect. And don't let some moron, pink-haired, white Democrat tell you that a bunch of slave-owning racists wrote this. They wrote this for the people to live in prosperity and to be free. And you remind them who the party of racism really is. So I feel like I covered a lot. I'm going to leave it at that. And for everybody out there, so you could find me every Monday Madness with James Curry, We the People Radio, on all the major platforms that, you know, Facebook, Cloud Hub, the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. Please, if you have Roku, go to the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV, Roku Smart TV, Roku device. Download it. It's free, and you have a crap ton of shows there. Like I said, I think it's about 25 shows there. Some big names. See, Monday Madness, 6:30 p.m. with James Curry, We the People Radio. Every Wednesday, War Room Wednesday, The Great Divide, me, like today at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Freedom Friday, back with James Curry, every Friday night, live, 9 p.m. for Freedom Friday. That's always like a three-hour show with him and I. We always, you know, we're always rapping about something, gangbanging on the government together, or we have some great guests. Every Thursday, you can catch me on The Stone Zone, which is Roger Stone's show, over at frankspeech.com on Lindell TV 2. I do a live show over there. I'm actually guest hosting for his entire show tomorrow over at frankspeech.com. Go over there, Lindell TV 2. I'll have a show for the full hour tomorrow while he's traveling, saving America again. That's all the guy does is travel, Roger Stone. But he does what he does, and he's good at it, with his political strategy. And I'm on all major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, you name it. I'm like broken glass. Subscribe to the Rumble channel, The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby. Go get me at Truth Social and Instagram, The Great Divide Podcast. Working on them, and the following there is great. Obviously, if you're here on Facebook, huge following there, highly engaged. You guys are the best, always sharing my stuff, sharing the videos, engaging in the posts. I can't thank all of you patriots enough that follow me, and I enjoy doing this. You know,
this isn't what I do for a living. I don't make any money doing this. You sell a shirt here and there. You have a sponsor here and there. I'm a businessman. Like I'm an entrepreneur. I have other businesses. I do this because I love it. I do this because I want to get people to think on their own for themselves. I want to get people questioning everything. I want to get people researching. I want to get people to just take a step back and look at the big picture and say, fuck the mainstream media. I'm not the news. You know what the new news is? The new news is decentralized media and shows like mine and shows like We the People Radio. If you want real political commentary, the best political commentary around, they have the best America First candidates on, constantly having former Trump administration people on like Cash Patel and Peter Navarro and even Liz Harrington. Go and check out Steak for Breakfast podcast. They're good friends of mine, Roan, Noah, and Antoinette. They put a show out every Tuesday and Friday, Apple Podcasts. They're audio only. They have great guests. They will give you straight policy, politics, straight updates on America First candidates all over the country. They have them on constantly. And they're always pushing the envelope for that, just more getting that information out there. I'm going to be doing a collaboration show with them that we're rebranding right now. The Great Steak Breakfast. It's going to be coming out on Saturday mornings on the Patriot Podcast Network and Facebook and other places. That'll be coming down the road soon. Again, just take care of yourselves out there. Make sure everyone around you is just doing the right thing. Be with like-minded people. Even people that don't agree with you, don't be controversial. Hear what they have to say. They probably don't want to hear what you have to say, but you should try, because that's the important thing, is at least you can try. We're different than those progressive sickos on the left. We actually want to have discussions, okay? They don't. Attend a rally, great. Wave a flag in a parking lot, great. But when it's go time to get to the polls, get your ass to the polls and do what's right. And that's really the most important thing. That and protecting our freedom and our liberties. So with that, everybody, I'll see you on Freedom Friday with James Curry at 9 p.m. Eastern on every platform. Until then, you take care.